Amen. Bishop, come on up here. I'm going to get you some water.
Okay. I got it.
You got it.
Sit down. I'm just a man. When Jesus walks into the building, that's when we stand. If you're standing for me, I appreciate the privilege of being recognized. Before I commence with the scripture, my lessons, my sermon, I want to dispense with protocol. But before I dispense with protocol, you will find me in 1 Samuel. I want to go to the Old Testament today, chapter number 17. Very familiar scripture. Chapter number 17, I will begin reading at verse 34, perhaps 32. I think I changed my mind. I'll start reading at verse 32. You know, I honor my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I find that we shortchange him so much. We will get up and go to work on time. We're faithful to jobs, but we're not faithful to the service of the Lord. Here's somebody who has watched over us 24/7. He has never slept, never slumbered. And even last night when we were lying in our beds, an angel was dispatched to watch over our homes. Amen. You didn't know that the enemy stood outside surveying, trying to see if you left a window unlocked. That's right. Or a door that he could come into. But because God had dispatched his angel, the angel stood and said, "You shall not do harm to God's child." And we shall change him. I looked at you all as you were dancing and singing and playing and praising the Lord. And I was thinking, hey, everybody got a little fat on them. Everybody is able to jump. And I was looking at that girl jumping on her toes. And I was thinking, there's no naked people in here. How good has God been to us that we have been fed, clothed, shelter, family circle is still intact. And we can't give God what he is due. You know what? If the president walked in, y'all would jump up and clap and he's here. He's here. But when Jesus walks in, we sit like we're in a show. Am I wrong? So I dare you today to get up on your feet and give the Lord a hearty hand clap and a hallelujah praise. I dare the devil to stop your praise today. I dare him to take your blessing away today. I dare him to take your miracle away from you today. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of all our praise. My wife had to have surgery. No, don't go all. She's still alive. And I've been up and down during the night, and I ain't trying to say I'm a good husband. I am, but I ain't trying to say it. But what I've been saying is, Lord, I thank you. She's in pain, but Lord, I thank you. I'm at a point now, I might as well just give me a little time. I done got old. I'm at a point now where I used to worry about this, that, and the other. But I have gotten to a point in God where if I can't fix it, oh well. I'm going to sleep. Oh well. That's how I feel about it. Because I lost a lot of sleep worrying about stuff I could not fix. I had to give it to God. So now that I've learned to give it over to him, oh well. Because I know he got it. To the angel of this house, my friend, he just wasn't talking. For some reason, you meet people and it's, you've heard of love at first sight. My wife tells me, don't tell another man you love him because. But it's a godly love that connected us from the jump. I didn't know him, had never seen him, but there was something that endeared him to me. And I am so thankful for Pastor John. The spirit that he has, when he sat down, I said, you truly are a man of God. He ministers in so many ways. I've seen him working out in the community. I've seen him working with people. I've seen him working in his church. You're blessed to have him. Amen. Now I'm blessed to have you as my friend. God bless you always. I shall be there for you as God gives me ability. Lovely wife who welcomed me from the time I walked in. Come sit right here, right here. We can move his stuff. But we're just so happy. And to all of the household of faith, Janine, I've known forever and a day. When she first came to the hospital, I was there. To all of my friends, I have no enemies. I just got disappointed friends. I say that now. I have no enemies. I claim no enemies. I just got people who are disappointed, but they are my friends. I'm happy to be here today. And I ask that you would pray for my strength, that the Lord may do that which he has promised he would do. I knew that I was supposed to be here, but the enemy has done everything he could to keep me from coming. I was supposed to have been here last New Year's Eve, but because of the heart attack that I had, couldn't come. But don't nobody go say, oh, he had a heart attack, I'm so sorry. Don't do that. To me, it's past miracle. I don't even acknowledge it. I just speak about it. I was supposed to come a little earlier, but you had some sewage problems. And quite frankly, I didn't want to be in the sewage. Had to change up because Pastor's friend had lost a loved one. I realized today that the enemy tried to detour me. But what God has for me, for you, the enemy cannot take it away from you. He can't take it away. So from 1 Samuel chapter number 17, starting with verse 32, I'm not into reading long scriptures, but I am going to do a little bit. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Him was Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him And I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now let me jump to the epilogue, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, we're talking about Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. And all of the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I've got a long subject, but I want you to say it with me. And the reason I want you to say it with me is I want you to commit. And the subject is repeated. I'm in it to win it. And because I'm in it to win it, I'm coming out. And when I come out, I'm coming out with victory. Now, I wanted the devil to hear you say that. Because some of y'all going to have to go to hell after you leave church. But I want the devil to hear you proclaim to him, I'm in this thing to win it. And I ain't backing down for nobody. You know, the world is full of Goliaths. Goliaths are defined as opposition, trials, tribulations. Anything that's set up to deter you is considered to be a Goliath. I don't care if you're young. I looked at you particularly. I don't care if you're old. If you got a mirror, I look at myself. I don't care what color you are, whether you're rich or poor. Before we leave this world, all of us are going to have to face a Goliath. And in many cases, Goliaths. The Bible says that he who had lived godly, we got to suffer some persecution. So we ought to be happy when the devil's attacking us, because it means we must be doing something right. Instead of us crying and carrying on, when your trial comes upon you, you ought to be jumping just like she was jumping. You ought to be dancing in the floor like that lady was dancing, because it means that you done made the devil mad. You either done made him mad or you're a threat to him. And he got to stop you before you get a hold on him. Now, your Goliath may be in the form of trouble. It may be in the form of finances. It may be in the form of temptation. It may be in the form of body sickness. It may be in the form of your husband, your wife, your child messing up. It may be in the form of somebody gossiping about you. And you know, in Martinsville, Henry County, people know more about you than you know about yourself. Whatever your Goliath is, you have got to stand and let the devil know, I don't care what you got, I'm in it to win it. Your Goliath may be different from mine. And that ain't what matters to me. What matters to me is that we've got to understand the mindset of the devil. He has studied each and every one of us. He knows how to get to us. He will keep jabbing and jabbing and jabbing to try to bring us down, to get us mad enough to cuss somebody out, mad enough so that we can act like a fool out in the world. But we have got to stand and let the devil know, I don't care what you're doing to me, I'm in it to win it, and I ain't backing down. Oh, I forgot. I shouldn't go yet. Y'all ain't used to it, are you? Well, when I get to feeling good, I forget where I am sometimes. Bible told me to just make a joyful noise, and every now and then I just got to go. Ah! Yeah. I'm tired of seeing church people walking around with their head hung down. I'm tired of seeing church people looking like they done had sour lemons. You're looking for them to smile and greet you, and they won't even half speak to you. But I found out if you got God on your side, it's automatically a smile that comes on your face, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. None of us, I ain't talking about Wellspring because I know y'all happy people, but none of us got any reason to walk around all frowned up, sour. I told you I wasn't talking about Wellspring.
I didn't say people didn't do it. I said we don't have any reason to do it.
Oh, I like her style. And I will tell you something else that I'm tired of. I'm tired of church people complaining. When's the last time you complained? Honey, I didn't like what you cooked last night. You got food on the table, eat it. There are people that's starving. Right here in the United States. Not over in Africa, but right here. And we got people complaining. I was out walking on the street, and I have a tendency to say, praise the Lord. And I expect you to say hallelujah back. I say, praise the Lord. Lord, I'm going through. I got bills to pay. And I just don't know if I can get one bill paid enough. Like I got the money to give them. If we believe God like we say we believe God, I got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. And I act like it's going to be all right. I told my wife the other day, I know you're in a lot of pain, but put your mind over on the other side where you won't be feeling any pain in a few weeks. It's going to be all right. But I'm tired of church people complaining. And then the other thing we always come up with, I'm praying over it. I done prayed about it. If you're not putting some action behind your prayer, ain't no need you praying. If you hollering, I need a job, and you said, I'm praying for a job, get out there and start looking after you pray. God will put one in your direction. You're praying over your husband acting up. You're praying over your wife acting up. Yes, pray, but love them a little bit more. Should I stop now? I've been looking at the lady with the flowered blouse on. Should I stop now? I've been waiting for you to say, go ahead and preach. What we have to do is get to the point where we say it's time for us to straighten up. It's time for us to tell the devil, go ahead and afflict me, but I'm not going to back down.
Go ahead and talk about me, but I'm going to stand. Go ahead and hit me with your best shot, but I'm coming out, because if God be for me, who can be against me? Go ahead and hit me, because I'm coming out, because I'm more than a conqueror. I have a God that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have no weapon that is formed against me that shall prosper, and no tongue that rises against me shall come to naught. I gotta come out of this thing, because I got God on my side. I got the grace of God. Grace is favor. If you got favor, your back is covered. You know, when you got favor, wherever you put your foot, it's going to be blessed. If you stepped into hell itself, hell would have to take a vacation. When you have the favor of God, if you got confusion in your home, step in it in the name of Jesus. Don't argue back, just step in it and watch God part confusion. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? We've been fighting the wrong way. We've been fussing the wrong way. We've got to put the devil down and lift up trouble on the level of Jesus. You know, when you got the favor of God, whatsoever you loose on this earth will be loosed in glory. If you got financial problems, loose them right here. And God will loose them up there. How do we loose them? By not complaining. By saying, by God I will live and by God I will die. If he's able to take two fish and five loaves of bread and multiply them, how much more so can he bless my finances? Bible says the silver and the gold, they belong to him. If all that is his and I'm his, don't you think he's going to bless me too? But it also said that whatever you bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. So when things ain't going right on your job, don't lose control and act like you done had a fit. Bind it right here in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep lifting up your name. That's how we bind things. We just keep moving forward. And when we bind it here, God said, I got to bind it up there. That's right. That's right. Amen. Can I tell you the other problem I find with church members? We don't know how to praise God. We don't praise God until he heals us of cancer. Then we up shouting, testifying about it. We don't praise God until he puts $100 in our pockets. I'm saying, church folk, we got to learn how to praise God before we get our blessings. We got to learn how to jump, shout, sing, and praise God before he makes that way out of no way. Before he opens that door that has been closed to us. If we learn how to praise God, he will bless us even faster. We got to get to the point where our praise is greater than what we're going through. Folk will talk all day and all night about what they're going through. And what they'll say is, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I believe you, Lord. I'm through. But we will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk about what we're going through. I'm saying we got to flip the script and got to start praising God more than what we talk about. Yes. Y'all didn't hear me. Because you're going to go home and do just the opposite. You're going to go home and complain about what's done happened. Preacher held us too long. I'm just saying, folks, if you want God to bless you, you got to praise him like you crazy. You see, in some churches, it would have been out of order for that sister to jump and lay out in the floor like she did. But I have learned something about praise. The more God has blessed me, the more I feel like praising him. Sometimes you don't know where God has brought a person from. If he has healed your body, he's worthy of a crazy praise. If he has made a way out of no way, he's worthy of a crazy praise. If he has opened doors that have been shut in your face, he is worthy of a crazy praise. That's why I don't say anything when I see people jumping and shouting. You don't know where God brought them from. But we too dignified. We too high sedity. We too laid back. Right now, I'm the hardest working preacher up here. I'm the hardest working person up here because I done busted a sweat and I'm looking at y'all all cool, calm, and collected. I done busted a sweat, but thank God for right God. And somebody said, why do you bust the sweat like you do? Because I believe the more I give God, the more he's going to give me back. If you want to show God you in it to win it, you keep on working until he says the day is done. God ain't got time for lazy church members. He needs somebody to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor will not be in vain. God is waiting for us to step it up. How can we encourage our children to hold on if we're not holding on? How can we change the mindsets of our spouses if we're not holding on? How can we change job situations if we don't show that we got God? Let me hurry and get to my text. I see some people yawning. I better hurry up. I better hurry up. I just saw somebody go. See, if I was in school, it was supposed to be they was just blowing off some CO2. But I believe you're just tired. Sleeping. Let me get to my text. In the text, quickly, you are all familiar with the story of how the war had emerged between the Philistines and the Israelites. But somebody came up with the bright idea. It ain't no need in all of us getting killed. Put your champions up and we'll let the champions fight. And whoever wins, the loser gives in to the winner. And the nation takes over. Israel jumped up and said, we can do that. But they didn't know that the Philistines had a ram in the bush. So here comes this giant of a man called Goliath. Big spear that looked like a tree trunk. Sword that I couldn't even hold up. Shield that would cover just about your entire body. Standing out there every day, send me your champion. And the Israelites looked at him and said, oh, dang. We can't go out there and beat him. Now, there's a lesson I want y'all to learn. The devil always swells up and looks badder than he is. So that church people will cower back. That's what he does. He looks badder than he is. So here comes little scrawny, little short David. Little shepherd boy. Rolls into the camp to bring food for his brothers. And he said, why y'all acting so scared? What's going on? He said, did you see that out there? He said, yeah, I see him, but why y'all scared? Y'all got God. And they got ticked off with him. And they said, you talking smack because you ain't nothing but a boy. So you know how people do you? When you stand up and proclaim to be something special, you always got somebody that's going to run it down. So they went to the king and said, that little nerdy boy right there, I think he all that. Tell it to the king. So David said, if I told you, I tell him. So they took him to the king, and the king looked at him and said, you just a little boy. That's a man of war that studied ever since he was a boy. David said, he ain't got nothing on me because I got Jesus, and I done studied Jesus since I was a little boy. I've studied God. He said, I'll go out there and fight him for you.
Saul said, well, I tell you what, since you're going to act like a fool, I'll just let you be a fool. But I ain't going to send you out without being covered up. Bring my armor, my personal armor, my helmet, my shield, my breastplate. And he put it on David. And he weighed him down. And David said, y'all got to take this heavy stuff off of me now. Here's the lesson that I'm trying to teach you. You cannot fight the devil on the devil's ground. You can't fight the devil in a worldly way. You've got to take off the world in order to fight the devil. That's why the armor wouldn't work for David. David had to show that God is my protection. Not your shield, not your sword, not your breastplate, but my God is my protection. Y'all got your Smith and Wessons at home? I don't know who got them. Some of y'all got them under your mattress, got them under your pillows, but you got them where you can get them real close, don't you? Some of y'all. But the man will break in and take your Smith and Wesson and use it on you. I've seen men and women carrying their tasers, and the guy took it from them and used it on them. But when you carry the power of Jesus Christ, nobody can take that from you. Nobody can take the defense from you. Nobody can take that weapon from you. So David said, let me just go out like I am with a slingshot. It wasn't one of them pull back. It was a swinger, two-string swinger. He got his little stones, five of them. I've heard preachers say that five for Jesus. I don't know what five represent. I just know he picked up five smooth stones. And he ran to meet his opposition. Now, folks, it had to. Running towards you. That's what we should do. When you run to your opposition, it throws the devil off. Because the devil's looking for us to act scared. But when you run to him, you throw him off. He doesn't know how to handle it. Now, how do we run to the devil? If you got somebody out there that's saying, I hate your guts, run to him and tell him, I love you. I had a man one time, he was sitting there at his house, he worked a 12-hour shift, and he was sitting there trying to eat about 8 o'clock that night, and his wife wanted to fuss. Ladies, I am not chauvinistic, but you know you argue in the past. She was arguing about him not taking the garbage out last week. And he's sitting there trying to eat, tired. And one mind spoke to him, one voice said, just get up and choke her. Just choke her. Don't kill her. You're going to jail anyway, but just choke her till she shut up. But the other mind spoke to him and said, jump up, hug her, kiss her hard, tell her you love her and that God loves her too. Thank God he listened to the second voice. He jumped up. She jumped back. He hugged her, kissed her. Baby, I love you and God loves you too. I said, well, what did you do? I said, back down and started eating. I said, well, what'd she do? She went in the kitchen and baked me a dessert. That's how we run to our enemy. You don't run to them and cuss them out because they cussed you out, or give them a fist because they gave you a fist, or kill their dog because they killed your cat. You've got to love the hell out of people. I saw her face and she said, he said hell. So here's little David running with not known but his clothes and a slingshot and stone. He done loaded the stone, the slingshot, while he was running. Then started swinging that bad boy in the air, and the Philistine said, what is this? This little wimp of a boy, what is he swinging? Didn't deter David. He just kept running, picked up his speed, and let go of the thing. Goliath hit him, fell out. And that ain't what killed him, but he fell out. It knocked him out. David kept running, got his sword, the enemy's sword, raised it, come down and chopped his head off. Now, You want to know what that lesson is? The very weapons that your enemy has designed to bring you down, God will take those same weapons and use them against your enemy. That's why the scripture, he'll make your enemy your stepping stone. That's why it means so much to me. If they've laid a trap, the same trap that they've laid out for me, God will turn it around and make it a trap for them. Anybody hear me? Anybody saved today? Anybody going to act like it from now on in? Your weapon is not carnal, but mighty. Mighty. And designed to pour down the stronghold of the enemy. You ain't got no reason to cry. You should have a victory cry. If tears fall from your eyes, let them be tears of joy. Because I know where God's going to bring me. I'm almost finished. I'm finishing up. The bottom line, here it is. When you believe God, he will bless your finances. When you believe God, he will bring on your healing. When you believe God, he will bring deliverance in your own household. When you believe God, you can go into the dope houses and bring your child out of it. When you believe God, you become his arms, his hands, his mouthpiece. When you believe God, you ensure your place in glory. Any believers in this house? Y'all didn't act like it. Any believers in this house? Shoot, I did better than that at the Martinsville High game and we lost. Any believers in the house? Yeah. We still haven't learned how to give God what he's due to have. I bet football game, man, we be up and doing the thing. I be. And let us get a touchdown. We all up hollering. Can't shut us up. With God, we give him a half a second, and we through, and we cool. You ever been to a game and you know how so much you horse and can't talk when you go home? But anybody ever been a horse after church? Raise your hand. Let me see how many. Are those the singles? You can count on singles to be hoarse. But you know what else? I'm through. But here's what I have to say. And it's happening in all the churches. When I was a boy, and we used to sing on the choirs, we had a singing group called the Sons of Joy. We would sing, and we would sing. And we would sing until the Spirit of the Lord would touch us. Not the audience, but us. Have you noticed that things done changed? People sang, and they sang, and then they go and sit down like ain't nothing happened. Have you noticed that? So, are we singing to the glory of God, or are we singing for the sake of ritualistic singing? When you truly sing to the glory of God, nobody has to know what you're feeling. But you'll feel something that's taking hold on the inside. And it'll make you sing even harder. That's why preachers understand the anointing. When the anointing hits, you'll preach harder because it's just touching you. So I'm saying, church, and I say it in all due love, we're in the evening time of our time. He was singing about time, and I was listening to it. We're in the evening time. If you can't see that with everything that's going on around us, we're in the evening time and we're fast approaching the midnight hour. Now, I don't want to make anybody scared because I don't believe in scared salvation. I believe in abiding until he comes, salvation. Just because they out there acting stupid, I'm secure because I got God. Now, all I'm trying to say is simply this. Since we are in the evening time of the rapture, then we should be acting like it's the evening time. When the seasons change, you spoke of it, the animals start getting in their nuts. We see the seasons changing, and we're not putting anything up. We're not sending any timber up. Old people used to call it timber. We call it prayer and fasting. Assurance that Jesus is mine. That's why he was singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Of all the songs they sang today, that was the song that touched my heart. Because it made me realize I truly do have a friend. I'm not utilizing it like I should. God bless you. It is my prayer. I didn't stay up too long. It is my prayer that you go out, hit the streets, hit the highways, the byways. I don't care where you are. You ain't got to throw somebody down in the water to baptize them or sprinkle them, whatever y'all do. But you can get them to believe by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you act, by the way you love them. That's what compels people to fill up Wellspring. Just going out and telling them, "I want y'all to come visit the church." That don't work. But when you go out and say, after you've loved them, "Well, come on, go with me," that will compel them to want to go. Because we all follow love. We all follow love. My old bishop, I'm through. I'm getting ready to sit down. Oh, she done turned the mic up on me. It's too late now. My old bishop, who was my mentor, said that he and his brother had an old hun dog, old coon dog. And he said the brother mistreated that dog. He'd kick him and slap him around, half feed him. But he said he would always rub on him and feed him and just talk to him. He said when his brother would take the old coon dog out hunting, the dog would always leave him and come back home. He'd leave him out there coon hunting by himself. But he said whenever he went, the dog would stay by his side and would not leave until he left. What am I trying to tell you? That if we go out in the world and we show the love of God to those people who don't know true love, when it's time for us to come into this house, they'll follow. Because of the way we treated them. I love each of you. God bless you. Thank you for receiving me today. Thank you, Lord. I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to be at Wellspring. There is something about the word Wellspring. He will be a well of water springing up unto eternal life. Wellspring has a mint chill just went through me. There's something special about Wellspring. There's something special about Wellspring. That's good for the world. See, you hidden back into this little neck of the woods. I was traveling up and I thought about ding, 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 ding. Oh, now they're getting it. They slow, but they're getting it. Think about it. You start off way down there on a main road, and you just traveling and look like you're going farther and farther into the woods. And you think you done got there, you got to curve and come a little farther. Hallelujah. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. That the delusion and illusion is not the reality of the love of God in this place. The love of God will cause people to travel that thoroughfare without any fear of harm or danger. Because it's love in this house. God bless you.